Coming up on today's show,
I ended up having to have a C-section due to some complications with the pregnancy towards the end. And then 3 weeks later, developed some blood clots that led to a stroke.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can sign up there for free for the weekly e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. You will see the box approximately halfway down the homepage with a header that says newsletter, and you just put in your email address and your name, check the opt-in box, and then hit the blue subscribe button. Check your email then, though, as I'm pretty sure it sends you an email to confirm having signed up. At the top of the website, and actually even through links in the newsletter, you can link over to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. I do hope you have joined or will join the Catholic Sports Radio community. That's the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on catholicsportsradio.net. And of course, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In youth sports especially, it's important to remember that these are the formative years. These are the opportunities for coaches to help a boy or girl learn their sport, understand the rules, get better at their skills, their technique, and to develop overall as an athlete and even gain an appreciation for the benefits of sport itself, such as physical fitness, teamwork, and good sportsmanship. At such an impressionable age, it's easy for a boy or girl to instead confuse the coach's words as having it in for them, rather than recognizing that what is being said is for their own good and will benefit them later on the field, on the court, on the ice, but also out in life in general. In the New Testament, we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 28 and 32, a message just like that. Quote, "And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest runs Rebuild the Body, Catholic-based coaching integrated with fitness, and she also runs Catholic Body Image, which uses a theology of the body approach. She is also a fitness instructor and is in the early stages of starting a podcast. As a student athlete, she had played basketball in high school and then in college worked the women's basketball team's home games. She later became an assistant coach for high school basketball and present day is getting ready to run a 5K in November. She has a story that we will hear today about a major medical occurrence that she has had to work to overcome. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Marty Langlois.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Likewise. I think, Marty, you might have lived here in Florida at some point, and I know you worked in New Mexico, and present day you live in San Antonio, Texas. But where did it all begin for you? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. I grew up with my parents, and I have 3 siblings. I'm the oldest of 4. I have 2 sisters, 1 brother.
Okay. You are not only a cradle Catholic, but do I have this right? You always only attended Catholic schools?
Yes, I went to Catholic school from kindergarten and literally all the way through graduate school.
Wow. Well, was that by design? Was that something you wanted, your parents wanted, both? How did that come to be?
I think there was a little bit of both going on there. My parents were focused on raising us in our faith. They also wanted us to get a good quality education. And then there was also an interest, for me personally, to grow in the faith and learn the faith throughout that experience.
And the college years, were those local or did you go away to a Catholic school?
I stayed in San Antonio for that as well.
And what schools was that?
I went to the University of the Incarnate Word.
Okay. So when and how did you first start participating in sports? And was it only basketball or did you play other sports also?
When I was a little younger, maybe like 5 or 6, I played a little bit of soccer. But the primary sport I kind of grew into and essentially fell in love with was basketball. I didn't actually get to start playing that till about the 6th grade. And that's partly based on, I don't know if that was choice or where I was at the time, but I was a late bloomer, looking into that and realizing that's the sport I wanted to do and grew in passion for, and a whole lot of wonderful things came out of that experience.
Was sports, or maybe even basketball itself, was there a parent, a family member, somebody, or something that influenced you that made you decide, I want to start into sports or I want to start into basketball? Or did it just kind of happen organically? Or maybe since you mentioned San Antonio, maybe you grew up watching the Spurs and said, hey, this looks like a sport I want to try.
Well, one, my dad is also a pretty big basketball fan. So he actually would, once I was starting to develop the interest to play, he actually took me out to learn how to shoot a layup, shoot the ball, and other aspects of the game that I wasn't familiar with at the time. I did, like I said, I did grow up in San Antonio, and I mean, the Spurs. I definitely followed them growing up, with the, legends of David Robinson, Tim Duncan, all those classic Spurs players. And then, I'm also a big, Duke basketball fan. Grew up, I have absolutely no personal connection with Duke, but I developed a fascination for Coach K and the way he coached the team, the way he encouraged leadership, and even brought his own faith as a Catholic into what he did.
Well said, well said. And folks, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. The reason that I ask a guest something like what I just asked Marty about, and you heard her say that her dad was a basketball fan and he's the one that took her outside and was showing her about shooting layups and things like that. That's the impact that you can have on your son or on your daughter. That is quality time. And it's something that Marty's now talking about as a grown-up, as though her dad just taught her all this stuff last week. So you see the impression that he made on her and how memorable these events can be for you and your son or your daughter many, many years later. Yes, in that moment, and you probably appreciate it and enjoy it that evening or a couple days later. But like I said, here's Marty all these years later. So recognize those moments when you have them and the impact that you are having, kind of like I said in my ministry moment. And of course, I didn't know that Marty was going to say what she just said when God gave me the ministry moment for today. I always say I'm not smart enough to write those myself each week. Marty, share with the audience what you told me in the lead up to today about your role on the high school basketball team, as well as with the college team, because I think there's a teaching moment here as far as a lesson or two learned from your experiences.
So, I played basketball in high school. Well, I started playing in middle school, and then, of course, I played in high school. And I was actually the last one off the bench. There were moments in time where that was frustrating because there's nothing more than a player wants to do than to be able to get on the court. But at the same time, I think that gave me a different perspective of the game, and kind of, I guess, somewhat of a better understanding of my role on the team, as well as to lessons that I actually got from the game that I don't know if, the star player would have gotten from the game, or those that were getting the minutes and the playing time as well. And if anything, that really developed a lot of passion for me that I have for that game still. It also taught me a lot about resiliency and, putting as just continuing to put the heart into it and the hard work into it, because there's a bigger picture that's going on here. And for my team, I mean, I remember talking to a coach one time. I was like, yeah, no, I was the last one off the bench. He's like, but you played, right? You played on the team. Yeah, you know what, I can say that from for the rest of my life, that I played on the team, and I played on a team that went to state. We got knocked out in the semifinals, so I still have that. I can claim that as well, and still allow that to carry on with me with wherever else I'm going.
And then in college, you were still able to be involved with the sport that you love, albeit working for the team instead of playing on the team.
Yeah, that was a different experience, and I didn't really have any intention to really be involved other than maybe going to see some games. But one of my teammates from high school, I think she was like the graduate assistant or something like that at the time, said, "Hey, we need someone to film the home games for us. Can you do it?" I was like, "Sure." And I love the game enough to just be able to sit up and move that camera back and forth, and basically so that way they can go back and look at the plays and figure out where they need to make the adjustments and improve as a team and as they're achieving their own goals for the season.
Yeah, and somebody might say, well, big deal, you were just filming the games. And to the coach, that's a huge deal because if there's not someone there to film the games, they have nothing to look at to go back and see their things that they want to correct for the next time. So great, great perspectives here from Marty so far. The intro, by the way, folks, would have gone on and on longer than we all would have liked if I'd have included all the ministry work that Marty has done over the years. Marty, I'd like you to share some of that with the audience because I think they'll see the strong faith foundation that you've built that provides a large part of the source and your qualifications for the coaching that I alluded to in the intro that you do. And I'll ask you about that next. But first, let's just have you give the audience that list of so much ministry work that you've done over the years.
I've worked in campus ministry, music ministry, hospice ministry. I worked in hospital ministry as a summer intern, as a chaplain, and in parish ministry as the Catholic religious education coordinator for the Holloman Air Force Base Chapel in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that's where I picked up when I was saying that you might have lived in Florida and you worked in New Mexico and you live in San Antonio. I knew that the New Mexico location was where you did ministry work. So, over how many years, over what span of time was everything that you just listed off for us?
Some of those I've done throughout the course in different aspects of the ministry. Like, I was always doing music ministry and campus ministry. I brought my guitar in for hospice patients and other, and even a little bit of the hospital ministry. I lived in New Mexico for 2, 3 years, and was working as the Catholic religious education coordinator there for maybe 2 of the 3 years we were there.
Well, this is where I need to make sure I have a little notepad next to me because I not only want Marty to explain about rebuild the body and Catholic body image, but of course, we need to hear the medical story of hers that I said in the intro that I want her to share with us today. Speaking of sharing, I'm trying to find the time to edit a video that I shot for the YouTube channel recently so I can finally get that posted. It's an explanation of a list of ways that you can help Catholic Sports Radio. And my hope is that you'll not only watch that once it goes up, but share it, just as I always hope that you're enjoying this show enough to want to share, meaning tell others about it. Of course, it would also be so helpful to me and so very much appreciated if you would also consider supporting my ministry by way of a financial gift. On past episodes, you've heard me saying names of listeners and past guests who have made a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio. That greatly helps me when it comes to the expenses that come with operating this ministry, especially since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. It's as easy as going to the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and then utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button that you'll see there. It's fast, it's easy, it's secure, and perhaps best of all is that you get to type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. By that, I mean there's not already a predetermined list of amounts to choose from. No amount is too small, and no amount is too big. For those that are a little hesitant about putting credit card information online, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via social media or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. For anyone who makes a financial gift to this ministry, I will say your name on an upcoming episode as a public thank you, with your permission, of course. Or as some have opted instead, you can ask me to keep it anonymous. I am truly grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people deeper in their faith life. Marty, share with the audience what I've been referring to when I've said a couple times now that you have a story about a major medical occurrence, including what it did to your faith life, caused you to seek God more, or maybe be mad and turn away from him.
So when I was living in, actually, Alamogordo, New Mexico at the time, I had my first, and at the moment, my only child, my daughter. I ended up having to have a C-section due to some complications with the pregnancy towards the end. And then 3 weeks later, developed some blood clots that led to a stroke. I just remember, like, one day I was breastfeeding my daughter, and my husband and I, we were getting ready to go for a walk, and handed her over to him to put her in the stroller. And I looked at my husband, I was like, I can't move my arm. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm trying to tell it to move, and it wouldn't move. And then my leg went numb, and the right side of my face started to droop. And I looked at him, and I said, we got to go to the ER. He's like, you want to go to see the OBGYN? I was like, no, we got to go to the ER. Like, we need to figure out what's going on here. So we went in, I got a CT scan, and sure enough, they found two blood clots that contributed to essentially the right side paralysis there for a little while. And I ended up getting transported from Alamogordo to Albuquerque to get better neurology care to address the blood clots and, you know, get me the right kind of care I needed at the time. And I just remember going, you know, during that time, I mean, I did have my questions about, you know, trying to understand why God, you know, I don't believe God inflicts the suffering. I've never once believed he inflicts the pain. I, you know, I even went through my list of, you know, like, what did I do to cause this? You know, could this event, you know, from choices, and I couldn't find anything. So the conclusion I drew was, well, he's allowing this to happen because, you know, we believe as Catholics that, you know, out of suffering can come, he can, his glory can shine through that. Just reflecting on even the cross of Christ, you know, the most horrific event in all of human history led to the greatest glory ever and story ever told of the resurrection. And that's what I held on to, was knowing something was going to come out of this. I mean, I still want, I mean, here I am a brand new mother. I still would have much rather have been with my brand new baby. I mean, this was happening during Mother's Day, so that's how I celebrated my first Mother's Day. I would have much rather have been with her than recovering from that. But she was also, you know, a focal point for me to bounce back. And I just kind of had this, the other piece that helped me get through it was the understanding of the body of Christ and the communion of saints, in the sense that the parish community we had there really stepped up to help us out and taking care of her. Our next door neighbors at the time are now her godparents, because they were the first point of contact for us to say, hey, we need someone to help take care of our child. They came up with us. Our priest came up with us, actually drove them up to Albuquerque while I was being taken in the ambulance. The deacon and his wife showed up to take care of her, and then eventually my own mother was able to finally make it out to help us out and take care of her. So we really, I saw that, you know, if you will, the manifestation of our, the body of Christ, or that Eucharist, you kind of see that heart of who we are spreading out through the, you know, we become bread broken, shared for others. We're seeing, I actually got to experience that and witness that through the parish community we were surrounded by.
And how, and how, wow, wow. And so over what period of time did this all last as it relates to, I guess, your recovery, and when was this, and where are you today?
This was in 2019, 4 years ago, because my daughter's 4 years old now. And the recovery took about, I guess, 6 months to regain some sense of strength and mobility in my right side. I went through physical therapy. I had to go through occupational therapy. Like, I all of a sudden didn't know how to write. I just remember being asked to sign out my di sign my discharge papers, and my hand is like, "What is this?" Like, they're handing me a pen. My hand's like, "What is this?"
Wow.
Like, I knew intellectually, I knew what it was, but I couldn't connect the ner make that neural
Yeah.
connection to my hand to say, "Hey, write your name on the piece of paper." So I had to learn how to write all over again, like I was in kindergarten. And along with doing some strength exercises, balance exercises, and other things to, get myself back into somewhat functional condition. And then once we moved to Tampa, I continued to work. I found a trainer there who also continued to work with me to help me regain some strength and stability. And I still work with him. Even from a distance, who continues to help me build on the foundation that's been in place now.
So present day in October 2023, are you able to say you're 100% recovered from the stroke or no?
I would say I'm about 90%, in the
Wow.
sense that I still feel some of the, I guess you could say, the side effects from the stroke. Like my upper, my shoulder still likes to get tight and tense, which is where one of the pain points occurred for me. And then I also have noticed, I think I've developed some neuropathy, in that things that are more in the sense of pain, it's more, things that are like, if I go into the microwave, I have to put on oven mitts for anything I pull out of the microwave, because I wouldn't know the difference between that and it coming out of the oven. Because it my hand's not really burning, but it feels like it's burning. So.
Wow. So now that we know what you've gone through, plus having heard your strong faith foundation in the first half of the show, tell us about both Rebuild the Body and Catholic Body Image.
Okay. So, when I was going through my occupational therapy and physical therapy experience, while I wasn't exactly thrilled for why I was there, I really noticed and grew curious about this neural connection between the brain and the rest of the body. And I didn't realize how connected the body was until I had that experience and really wanted to help and do something with that and build this bridge between my love for the faith and now a growing love for fitness. And, so Rebuild the Body is focusing on helping those who have been injured and trying to bounce back and get fit again, those that are dealing with some aches and pains that could be just from everyday life, to help them address some of those underlying issues, along with those that just want to go from the couch to getting back in shape again. And with my understanding of, there's something to be said about helping somebody rebuild their individual body and having that understanding of the contribution of how that is playing into the bigger picture of rebuilding the body. We know as the body of Christ, the bigger body, there is some brokenness. I think the empty pews and mass are evidence of that. Some of the struggles we're having with some of our social politics, some of the obstacles we've had with scandals. And there is something to be said of finding a way to, we have our time to tear down, we have our time to build up. There's also, we can say that there's a time to rebuild and then continuing to build up. And so that's been the focus of that. And then the other piece is helping people to regain that sense of understanding of the good, true, and beauty of our bodies. When God created Adam and Eve, he said, it's very good. And he didn't just create Adam with a soul, he created Adam with a body and soul. And that integration of the person makes a difference in how we show up. If one part of us is hurting, it affects all aspects of who we are, whether it's our, if it's our physical injury, it does bring up those questions about our faith. We've also seen how some physical medical diagnosis can contribute to maybe some mental health problems. We've also seen on the flip side with our interior health, spiritual, mental as well, and how that can actually show up in our bodies and impact how we're living our lives. And so one of the areas I do focus on is helping people to process through their emotions and their thoughts and their beliefs about the body they have and the one that they see in the mirror, the one that and how is that aligning with how God actually sees the body.
And folks, for those of you that are interested in contacting Marty about everything you just heard her talk about, she does have a website that's being built. I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode to that website. If you go there and you say it doesn't work, it just means that the website isn't up yet. But I know a lot of people don't necessarily listen to the episode the day that it comes out. It might be a day later, a week later, a month later, or 6 months later. So at least that link will always be there for people, regardless of whether they're finding this episode on the day it comes out or later. But Marty, congratulations. It's great work that you're doing and important work. And thank you for your service to the Catholic community and what you're doing. I do want to make sure that I give you a chance to talk about the podcast that you're starting. What is it called? And then also, what is the subject matter?
It is called Rebuild the Body. And basically it's bringing in a combination of the faith and the fitness, focusing on the Catholic teachings about who we are as human beings, body and soul, composites, and integrating those two. So there's a bit of bringing in that mindset about who we are and fitness, and then also bringing in some practical approaches and maybe rationales for why moving our body is valuable, why going for a walk is important, why certain exercises can actually make a difference of being able to get that cup off of the top shelf for your child, or all kinds of ways that fitness and our faith, bringing those together, can actually improve our quality of life.
And the podcast is out.
It's out, and still in its beginning stages, but it's out.
Okay. I said in the intro that you're getting to run a 5K in November. In our discussions leading up to today, you referred to it as your, quote, first post-stroke 5K, end quote, which to me would imply that you've done 5Ks before. Is that correct? And if so, how many? Approximately, and what date in November will this be so people can pray for you on that day?
I couldn't tell you how many 5Ks I've done, but I did a lot of 5Ks in like in the high school era, more so they get in shape with for basketball. And my mom, she was a big 5K runner, so she always she was instrumental in taking us all out for a morning run.
Wow.
But this would be the first post-stroke 5K I've done. This is going to be happening November 4th. This is the first thing I've actually been training for the, a little bit of a competition and being able to get back into some element of sport again for me, which I've kind of missed a little bit. And just want to run it well, run it strong. My trainer has set me up to train for it. And just looking forward to finishing the race.
Is it safe to assume that this 5K on November 4th will be there in San Antonio?
Yes, it's in San Antonio.
Okay. Well, let's close by hearing about your husband, maybe how the two of you met, how long y'all have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as about your daughter and perhaps even the parish that y'all belong to in San Antonio, if you want to disclose that.
Sure. I actually met my husband through Christian Mingle. Online. And actually, when I set that account up, I was more curious about how the online dating worked, not really with the focus of actually finding somebody. But strangely enough, when you're not looking, sometimes God helps you find what you're looking for. And then we were married for about 3 years, and then we finally were able to conceive our first child, which is my daughter. She is 4 years old now. My husband and I, we've been married for a total of 9 years, going on to our imperfect 10. I say imperfect because we've had our ups and downs. And we do currently live in San Antonio still. Our parish is with St. Pius X. A really nice parish. The pastor's great. Really nice small niche community. And that's where we've been.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Marty, it's been so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family. And again, audience, let's pray for Marty, especially on November 4th for the 5K that she's going to participate in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.